While we were worshiping, we sang that sentence. I don't remember which song it was in, about our enemies, overcoming our enemies. And the Lord whispered to me, sometimes our biggest enemy is the way we think. Sometimes the devil whispers in our ear, and he's such a manipulator. He makes us think that that voice is our own. Until we repeat it often enough through our own meditation, and then it becomes our voice. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And then we become our own worst enemy. Isn't that something? We need to recognize his voice. How do I know his voice? How do I know the voice of the devil? His voice is anything that contradicts the Word of God. Anything. That's the only way we're going to recognize it. So the first step in overcoming fear is grabbing hold of the Word. That's not just a Sunday morning thing. That's not hearing a sermon once a week. That's a daily exercise. In meditation, in the Word, every day. We don't get a day off from the Word. Yeah, but what about when we go on vacation? You don't get a day off from the Word. The devil never takes a day off. Did you know that? The Father never slumbers and never sleeps. He doesn't take a day off either. We just need to get on his side and take the Word. If you're afraid, upset, yeah, it's time to take the Word, you know. Tammy and I were going through a crisis one time. I've told this a lot of times. And she looked at me. She said, "What do we believe?" And at that moment, I just knew one thing, and I said the one thing. We hung on to it. And we saw God deliver us. It wasn't instant, but it was miraculous. Praise the Lord. Let me start off this morning. I want to read you a verse of Scripture here. I'm going to read lots of verses today. So I don't know if you need to look them all up or not, but I'm going to read them to you. And if you can keep up, that's great. If not, just write them down and look them up later. Is that all right? I'll try to go slow enough. You can look at this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I was reading this in my daily Bible reading this morning. This wasn't a part of my sermon. In fact, none of this sermon is what I was going to preach today, just so you'll know. I feel like the Lord told me this morning what to do after I read these verses. So we'll see what happens here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Look what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." Look at this next part where he says, "which also you've received, wherein you stand." Where do we stand? We stand in the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. It's the good news that Jesus became sin. That Jesus became sick. Jesus became poor. Jesus took the curse and he became a curse that I might receive the blessing of Abraham. That's the gospel. How do I know that? Because the Bible says in Romans that God preached the gospel to Abraham. What was the gospel? You're blessed. That's the gospel. I don't live under a curse. No matter what the curse may be, whether it's a curse on my finances, or seeming like it's a curse in my finances, in my relationships, in my work, whatever it is, whatever somebody else has said, pronounce the curse upon me. The Bible says that I stand in the gospel. So if anybody says you're an idiot, no, you're not. You're blessed. not blessed because you have a car or a house, because the blessing in the stuff, the blessing is what exists on the inside of you. Right? I'm blessed, not because of my past, not because of my education. I'm blessed because of the blessing of the Lord. Because Jesus came, the Scripture says in Acts, to bless us. Okay, so we got to realize that. Now, that's where we stand. I want you to look at this next verse, though. Verse 2. By which also ye are saved. That could mean born again, but it doesn't only mean born again. That is speaking of deliverance, rescue, being whole, being well, being healed in my mind, in my body, in my life. It says, by standing in the gospel, I'm delivered. By standing in the gospel. Now look at the next sentence. You see that next little word, next phrase. See that little word, if? That's one of the biggest words in the Bible, if. It says that I stand in this deliverance. I stand in this freedom. I stand in this power because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation or rescue or deliverance from anything. Anything. This is exciting to me. I'm getting ready. This just makes me just want to dance almost. It says, if you keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Did you just hear what I read? Deliverance has to do with how I think. Why is that important? Because how I think, what I spend my time thinking about is meditation that produces faith. If I meditate the Word, if I'm thinking, if I'm remembering the gospel, it'll produce faith in that gospel, and I'll be free. It's one thing to have gotten saved. It's a whole other thing to stay free. It's one thing to have walked down the aisle and got dunked in the bucket. It's a whole other thing to be delivered and stay that way. Where does it come? By thinking about what happened. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Why would he say that? Because we forget. We focus on the bondage and not the deliverance. We focus on the trouble and not the answer. Man, this is powerful stuff. The apostle said, if you don't think right, your faith is in vain. It's empty. It doesn't produce anything. It means your faith had no purpose. It just didn't do anything. When he says you got to keep it in memory, that means to hold on to, secure, to hold it in possession. Wow. If I spend my day thinking about how much I hate my day, guess what's going to happen to me? I'm going to lose the deliverance of the day and my faith is in vain. If I spend my day thinking about how bad it is, how bad it's going to be, that brings vanity to it. Verse 15 of that same chapter, the apostle said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. His favor. His hand on my life. By His favor, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. How was it not in vain? He kept the gospel in mind. He continually meditated on why God called him. He kept that in his mind. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. See, the grace of God was working for me. The favor was working for me because I did not allow the favor to be in vain. I kept my focus on it. I kept thinking about what God called me to think about. Here's the deal. Paul could have thought about everywhere he went, he got whipped by somebody. Isn't that right? But he never got whipped by the devil because he always came back. He could have thought about how bad it is. He could have felt like, well, this is just so hard, Jesus. He didn't say that. He said, you know what? I'm not going to let that grace be wasted. Because, listen, there's grace for everything we face. Whatever place you find yourself in, you need to learn how to say, there's grace in this place for me today. No matter how bad it seems. You see, he said down in verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you're in your sins. He's talking about this vanity that occurs when we don't stay focused where we're supposed to be. See, the devil is a master. If he can get your thoughts, he's got you. If he can make you think his way, what's his way? Any way that contradicts the Word. If he can make you think that way, I'm going to tell you, it becomes vain. It becomes empty. It becomes useless. It doesn't matter about what you've believed in the past. If you think wrong, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll do wrong because you'll believe wrong. This is good, huh? Amen. Well, we'll get to some good stuff here in just a moment. Okay. Now, by the way, today's message is as much for me as it is for anybody else. Because the Lord, I mean, He just spoke to me today to tell me what to do. Remember last week we read this scripture in Isaiah 26? Don't turn there. Let me just read it to you. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, what? Whose mind. Isn't that carnal? No. It becomes very spiritual. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If I trust him, my mind can stay there. If I'm only thinking about how bad it is, how tired I am, how much I've messed it up, how badly somebody treated me, if that's all I can think about, then I don't trust him. If I trust him, trust is a part of faith. You realize that, right? If I believe God, then I can trust Him. Doesn't matter what's going on around me. I find what He said in His Word. That's where it starts off. What did He say in His Word? And now I put my trust in that, my faith in that, and then the Bible promises me that I can now keep my mind on Him, and He keeps me in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Completeness, to absolutely nothing missing, nothing broken. Does that mean I have it the instant I believe? Yes, it means I have it on the inside. It may take it a day or two to line up with what I believe. We'll talk about that as we go some more. It says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Stability, we said this last week, stability comes from our way of thinking. The Bible says we live in perilous times. In these times, we must remain stable and live in peace. I like this. In other words, this is certainly possible. Young's literal translation says this, an imagination supported, thou fortifiest peace. Man, if my thoughts and my imaginations are on Him, it changes everything. If you make me mad, and I instantly begin to imagine what God wants to do, I'm not going to be mad at you very long, because I know God isn't mad at you. I know He's not angry at you. I told you last week about the lady that came in our jewelry store that couldn't speak, and at first I was irritated by her, because I thought they smelled like tobacco, and I said, how you doing? She went, I thought, well, you rude lady. Then I realized she couldn't speak, and then the Lord spoke to me and said, she's valuable to me. I said, yes, sir. So I helped her, and I told you last week that the Lord gave me a gift of interpretation. And even though she couldn't speak, when she grunted to me, the Lord told me what she was saying. And I was like, wow, this is like getting tongues and interpretation at church. And what she wanted, I didn't necessarily think was going to look that great in the end. But you know what's what she wanted? So we worked it and did it. This week she came to pick it up. It was beautiful. The diamond was a little diamond, but it was her grandmother's diamond. The ring was beautiful. She had never had a diamond purchased for her in her life. Listen, this lady gave me the biggest hug and grunted at me, but I knew what she was saying. This is the weirdest thing. I knew what she was saying. She was saying, thank you, thank you. It is beautiful. Well, you know, we have to recognize that we have to think right. We have to think the way we're supposed to. We have to imagine right. And if she would have come to me and I didn't imagine right, I would have treated her like she was ignorant, and she wasn't ignorant. I would have treated her like she was less than me, and she's not less than me. I would have treated her like maybe I know something. I do know some things she doesn't know, but can I tell you something? She knows some things I don't know. But it changes what happens. We have to imagine right. We have to focus our hearts with trust. We have to focus our minds on what God says. Then we have to trust with our heart. Our mind is on Him. Our heart is on trust. What did you say, Lord? Now that takes practice. This is not just a one afternoon lesson. It takes time to trust. Trust is something that's earned. Trust is something you have to work with, and you have to learn how to trust Him. All right? You have to trust Him. We read this last week. John 14, 1 through 3. Let me just read it. We read it last week. It says this: let not your heart be troubled. There you go. What's the subject we said last week? You is the subject. You must not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Jesus is saying, trust me. Do not let your heart be troubled. I choose it. Yeah, but I can't help it. We said last week, I guess maybe Jesus didn't know you couldn't help it. Or He might have said, let not your heart be troubled, except you, Randy, because you can't help it. No, He didn't say that. He said, Randy, do not let your heart be troubled. And we take it personally. That's what that means. The word troubled here means really, it could mean upset. Don't get upset in your heart. Don't let it get in you. See, lots of things can happen to me, but I cannot let them get in me. If it gets in me, I'm in trouble. How does it get in me? By me saying it. By me meditating in it. Oh, man. We can't ever get out of debt. I don't know. Every time we almost get there, something else happens. We got to go to the doctor. We're never going to get out of debt. Why did you just now let your heart get troubled? Because you didn't recognize it as trouble, number one, but it becomes trouble. Number two, because this thought came that wasn't from God, it wasn't from you, it was from the devil, and you went ahead and believed it. And repeated it and began to meditate in it. We must not let our heart be troubled. Jesus later on in that same chapter says the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, is going to come. In other words, we have this leader, this guide, who's going to take us through whatever it is. This is what I know. I have been on this side of some stuff, and I thought, there is no way we can get through this. And somebody comes, this is how it works. A Christian who loves me comes and says, it's okay, you'll get through it. And I'm thinking, you don't know. You've never faced anything like this. You don't know what I'm going through. And you know what happens? As I stay in faith, as I believe God, one day I'm on the other side of it. And now I'm the guy saying, you'll get through this. It'll be okay. And they're thinking, you don't know what you're talking about. You've never had this kind of thing. You see, I do know. I have been through it. Maybe not what you've been through, but I've been through something. I mean, I know this. Then Jesus said, this Holy Spirit's going to lead you through it. And then he said, peace, I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. My peace. My nothing missing, nothing broken. The world's peace might be money. The world's peace might be the right person being elected. The world's peace is all kinds of things, but Jesus' peace is eternal peace. Jesus' peace transcends all time because Jesus' peace is God Himself. He says, that's why I'm leaving with you. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't get upset. Don't get upset. Now, let's go to something new here. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Look this up. And by the way, Jesus didn't say, try not to let your heart get troubled. There are some translations that say it that way, but Jesus didn't say, oh, Barbara, try not to let your heart get troubled. Just try your best. See, but what he said was, do it. Just don't let your heart get troubled. It can happen to me, but by golly, it's not coming in me. I'm not going to let my heart get troubled. Not going to let it happen. Philippians chapter 4, look what this says. This is a great, it starts off wonderfully. The Apostle Paul, the guy who's been beaten, the guy who's in jail while he's writing these words, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Here's how we get peace. The first step, rejoice. 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 Yeah, but they just now repossessed my car. Rejoice. Because if you can rejoice in the trial, the Lord will show you why it happened and how to prevent it from happening again. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to say, you show me first and then I'll be happy. Doesn't work that way. That's not what faith is about. That's not what trust is about. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he said, in case you didn't get it, let me tell you again, rejoice. Let me just tell you something. If you're upset about anything this morning, step number one, rejoice. Now notice what he said. He didn't say rejoice in the problem. He didn't say rejoice because bad things are going on. He said rejoice in the Lord. See, because I know he has the answer. I know even though I've thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and I can't seem to figure it out, I know this, I can't figure it out. Because he said, don't trust in my mind. Lean not to my own understanding. Trust him. Keep my mind on him. Then that perfect peace is going to come to me. But I got to rejoice in the Lord. Man, this is pretty cool. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. This is interesting. What does that mean? In other words, I've got to be balanced with all people. That isn't even what it says. In the Greek language, that word moderation means appropriate, or it literally means sweet reasonableness. In the middle of your problem, here's the second thing. First, you got to rejoice. The second thing you got to do is be sweet. Nobody wants to be around people that are troubled all the time. Nobody. How you doing today? Well, I guess I'm okay.
I got up this morning, Tammy didn't even fix me breakfast today. I don't think she loved me anymore. I think, woe is me. I mean, I don't know. You'd think after all I do, she'd at least fix me some breakfast.
It says, let your sweet reasonableness be known to everybody. That's pretty cool. The Lord is at hand. In other words, he's within my grasp. That's why I can rejoice. That's why I can be sweet, in spite of whether or not my car started today. Isn't this good, man? This is so good to me. Again, I've got one finger to you and three pointing at me, just so you'll know. Just because it's not working out the way I want it to. And here it is. Number three, be careful for nothing. You know what that word nothing means? Nothing. Not one single thing is what it means. Be careful. That doesn't mean, it means don't watch what you're doing. It means don't worry about anything. That's what it says. That's in the Bible, really? Well, you know, that's right. We're not supposed to worry about anything. Well, except a bad doctor's report, right? I mean, after all, if you get a bad doctor's report, you can worry. You should worry, shouldn't you? Isn't that what he said? Let not your heart be troubled. This is the same statement, basically. It says, be anxious for nothing. Well, unless you owe a bunch of money. I mean, you know, then you probably need to be a little bit anxious about that. That ain't what that said. It said, be anxious for nothing. Well, I mean, except your spouse left you last night. No, it says, be anxious for nothing. Can I just tell you something? You get a bad doctor's report, whether it comes, the manifestation of healing comes through here or there, you're getting through it. If you owe a bunch of money, whether you pay it or don't pay it, you're still going to get through it. If she left you, you're still going to get through it. Why worry about it on this side of it? The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Now, that has to do with the way I think, doesn't it? I can either worry or I can believe. It says, don't worry about anything. I mean, that again is a command and not a suggestion. It kind of goes along with Jesus saying, let not your heart be troubled. It goes along with casting your care on Him. The Bible doesn't say try to do these things. It instructs us to do those things. Now look at verse 8. This is interesting. Well, let me read the rest of that verse. And the peace of God, let me go back to verse 6. Let's read again. And be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Lord, this isn't working out the way I think it should. But you know what? First of all, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be sweet. And I'm going to give you thanks. Not for the problem, but because you are my answer. You're my only way through this. If you don't, Lord, I know this. I can't even figure out how to make it work. But you know the answer. My eyes are on you. Lord, I repent for trying to think that I can do this on my own. Lord, I trust you. I believe you. I expect you to do your word. I don't even see how you could possibly do it. But you don't deal in the realm of possibility. Because you said that if I can believe, all things are possible with you. See, and that's where we have to be. Thinking there. I don't even understand it. It says, and if you'll do that, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now all of a sudden something supernatural happens. His peace comes. And here's the weird thing about that is the Bible says here it is peace that passes understanding. I mean, you'll be at peace and the devil will come and say, you ought to not be at peace. You ought to be worried. You ought to be thinking about this. You ought to focus on this. If you don't do something, it's going to fall apart. And the answer is, you know what? When the Lord tells me what to do, I'll do something. But until then, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to give thanks because this supernatural peace is operating me right now. And I will not be shaken by the bad news. Now, this is more than just singing the song a time or two. This is actually doing it. Now, here we go. Look at this. This is the kicker right here. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. What is true? Jesus said, thy word is true. Whatever's true. whatsoever things are honest. If it contradicts the word, it's a lie. Whatsoever things are just. God is just. And what he says is right. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise. Think on these things. Don't think about the guy that cut you off on the loop. Don't think about how mad you are at Cousin Sophia. That's not what we think about. If your thoughts are going there, if your thoughts are going toward the place of absolutely fear and dread and doubt and all that stuff, stop thinking that way. Yeah, but I can't help it. Yes, you can. It takes time to turn it around. It takes an everyday choice to turn it around. But eventually, it can be turned around. Peace comes as we think about it. Just got to think about it. Look at verse 9. This is interesting. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. He said, if you do this, if you think right, God will manifest himself to you with his supernatural peace. But I have to do it. It's my doing it. I can't be upset. I can't do that. I mean, yeah, but Pastor, sometimes you've got to... Somebody said this to me last week, actually. He said, you know, sometimes, you got to look at reality. Sometimes you just got to look at the way things are. You got to look at reality. And this was my answer. You're right. We must always look at reality. Reality, however, is molded by the way people think, because the way they think determines what they believe, and what they believe determines their future. He said, well, I just don't believe that. He's a guy, brilliant man, an attorney, brilliant guy. And I said, he said, well, that's right, but you can't believe that. I said, well, let me just talk about something. I said, there was a group of men, our founding fathers, who began to think. I mean, the reality was they were under the tyranny of Britain. The reality was there was injustice all around them. They began to think about freedom. They began to think about being a nation separate from Britain. And then one day they believed they could do it. They signed a document that said, we're free. When did they become free? The moment they believed it's when they became free. But they still had a struggle. And there was time before it was manifested. But they never gave up on what they thought. Every day they woke up and they called themselves patriots. They called themselves the United States of America. They decided, because they thought differently, even though the circumstances said you're still slaves of the king, their thought was, no, sir, I'm not a slave of the king. I'm a free citizen of the United States of America. And I looked at him and said, you can't tell me that what you believe doesn't make a difference. It will change. It'll change the reality. It'll change the way you feel. It'll change the way you look at things. It'll change everything. But you've got to be able to see right. Ooh, man. And he looked at me and he said, well, I guess that's right. That's pretty good. I want an argument with the lawyer, just so you'll know. Anyway. You see, as we focus our minds on the Word, faith comes. What does faith do? It makes everything possible. It makes all that God promised me. You see, word faith comes from word meditation. World faith comes from meditating on anything that contradicts the word. Anything. Oh, this country is sunk. Oh, it's sunk. Oh, it's sunk. Well, what does my faith have to do with that? Well, if the country gets sunk, but I believe God, I'm not sunk. He knows what to do. He gives me wisdom. Ooh, man, cause, and I may talk about this next week, it's all going to work together for good for me. You know why? I love God, and I'm called according to His purpose. Romans 4, verse 19. Man, I really thought I was going to get way further. I've got a way to go here. Let me just read this to you. Romans 4, 19. Talking about Abraham. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. In other words, he was not focused on the circumstance. Wasn't focused on how he felt. Wasn't focused on him. It says, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, he wasn't focused on him or her. He wasn't focused on those things that contradicted the word. He wasn't focused on them at all. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He wasn't about to even meditate in those things. Didn't mean he didn't know they weren't there. Didn't mean he didn't face them. It says, but he was strong in faith. He's doing what we already said, giving glory to God. How about that? Every day he said, man, I am the father of a multitude. I'm the father of a multitude. And Sarah would call over, hey, father of a multitude. And he'd say, yeah, princess. That's what their name changes meant. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Man, that is power. We have to realize the way we think has a lot to do with everything. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. How many more points do I have here? Man. Okay. This is way important. Matthew chapter 6, look in verse 19. Holy Spirit, let me do this right. If you're troubled, if you're upset, if you're worried, this is way important to us. Matthew 6, verse 19. Look what Jesus said. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Now, what's Jesus even talking about? Well, he's talking about two value systems. He's talking about two distinct systems of value. We have to learn how to invest in his system where what we invest cannot be stolen. It cannot be corrupted. If I'm investing in his kingdom, now I'm not even necessarily talking about money here. I'm talking about investing my heart into the kingdom. I'm talking about investing my heart into what did he say? This can't be stolen from me. It can't, there's no way it can happen. What happens to Christians is they get upset when they get ready to lose something. I'm going to sue Cousin Bernice because she took my money. Really? And we get upset. I'm never talking to her again, in fact, because I hate her now. Because we're investing in the wrong place. Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, don't turn there. It says, speaks of we have an account in heaven. So we need to learn how to invest in that account. Okay? His system is the place of real treasure and real peace. No matter what's happened or is happening around me, His kingdom is the place where I have to have my treasure. Can I just give you a little bit of insight here? Christians get upset for one of three reasons, and maybe all three of them together. You ready? If you're upset, this is why. Number one, lack of love. Love. If I love my money more than Cousin Bernice, I'm going to get mad at Cousin Bernice if she gets my money. If I love my right on the road more than I love the driver of the other car, I'm going to get mad if they don't do what I think they ought to do. Even though knowing the whole time, I do the same dumb stuff sometimes. Lack of love. Lack of love. I mean, if we have a lack of love, that means we value things more than we value people. And then if they don't do what I want them to do, I get what? Upset. My heart gets troubled. I let it get in me. Number two, Christians get upset because of a lack of faith. This would include trusting God. They believe the circumstances, or they believe in their feelings more than they believe the promise that's in the Word of God. They believe how they feel is more real than what the blood has declared. The blood has declared righteousness, blessing, and life. But they believe the circumstance. So we talk about our value. But if we don't value what He values, it puts us in a precarious place. A lack of love, a lack of faith, and thirdly, they have wrong priorities. In other words, they fail to value what God values. And mostly because they didn't ask God what He values. We get in the circumstance and we just start pushing on through it. Oh, we got to fight this in the Spirit. One time I was in a precarious place. Man, I thought, oh my goodness, I got to pray in tongues. I got to get through this one. And I just started praying in tongues. And man, I was going for it. And the Holy Spirit said, stop! I said, what? He said, you already prayed this one through. Peace came. I thought, oh, really? Okay. In other words, He just said, this is not a big deal. Let's focus over here. Sometimes we focus on the wrong things. Have you ever heard that term, don't sweat the small stuff? Who gets to determine whether it's small or not? Who gets to determine whether it's large or not? Listen, if we love God and we're walking with God, and we have love and we have faith and we've decided to make His priority my priority, He gets to decide what is small. And He gets to decide what is large. There is a time when you engage and you have to pray and intercede if He says. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're afraid when you begin, you've already lost. I don't pray in tongues because I'm afraid. I pray in tongues because He has to show me that this is big. There are some things I think are huge.
Oh God, should we buy this house or not? Oh God, what do we do? Oh Lord. And He's just like, please, just walk and I'll show you which one it is. Let me show you something over here. We got this guy over here who needs healing in his body. That's what I want you to focus on today. See, we've decided that we get to choose what's big and what's small. Listen, we belong to Him. We've been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus has purchased us. That means He has the right to tell us what is important today.
Oh my goodness, I don't know what to take to the dinner tonight. Oh no, what will I do? Oh, I hope they'll... Oh my gosh. I don't have any money to buy what I want to do. What are we going to do? Oh, my God. They'll all laugh at what I bring.
But can I say something to you? I already know what the Lord's saying about that one. Because he later on in the chapter is going to tell us, don't worry about what you're going to eat. That's what he's going to say. Because I'm going to read it to you in just a moment. We can't sweat the small stuff. He has to decide what is my priority today. Lord, is this important enough to fight over? Oh, okay. Now how do I know? How do I know? Peace. I'm going to follow peace. Yeah, but I want to smack them. There's no peace there. All right. I'll let them go. I will not allow them to control my day. I will not allow them to interrupt my peace. I refuse to allow this to get in me. Had somebody this week make me so mad, I just wanted to stomp a mud hole in them. I said, all right, I'm not even going to think about it again today. Got up the next morning, the same thought came to me. I said, no, sir, no, 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 that is not going to ruin my day. I trust you. Is that important to you? No. I want them saved. Okay. Then I'll pray for their salvation. You see, we have to learn how to value what he values. See, if our treasure is in the wrong place, we're going to get troubled if we lose it or might lose it because it's our treasure. See, if I might not get it, it'll trouble me because I have the wrong treasure priority. Let me read on. We just read verses 19 through 21. Look in verse 22 of Matthew 6. This is an interesting passage, and I'm going to throw a different light maybe you've ever seen on this passage. It says, the light of the body is the eye. Now, it almost seems like Jesus just now changed subjects. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? How does that go with what he just said about treasure? Here's how it goes. Here's what he's saying. He's talking about the same subject. He's saying, what you see and how you see it determines peace or trouble. He's saying, if you're seeing it the wrong way, if you're seeing it in any way that contradicts the promise of God, the Word of God, then darkness enters into you. And you begin to act wrong, you begin to talk wrong, you begin to be wrong. But he said, if you will see it in light of the Word, the light of God comes into you. And you have freedom. He's still talking about these two systems. You see, Christians, I mean, even Christians are afraid of death. Because the Scripture says in Hebrews, it talks about the devil who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If I'm afraid of losing it, here's what the fear of death is. The fear of death is the fear of an irrecoverable loss. Something that I will lose that I can never recover from. By the way, if you die physically, can you recover? Oh yeah, because you never die and you will recover your body eventually. You don't lose anything. Listen, if you die physically, here's what you lose. Pain. Tears. Too warm or too cold. I mean, that's what you lose, all the curse that's around you. You don't lose your body even. You get that back. I mean, we don't have any fear of death. If I'm afraid of losing something that I can never recover, it makes me bondageable. The devil can hold me in bondage. If I think I can never recover from this, I'll never recover from this. Listen, that's seeing it the wrong way. Because if I see it the wrong way, darkness will come. Bitterness will swell up. Anger will grow. Because I'm seeing it wrong. I'm not looking the right way. You see, I've got to know this. If I look at it the way the Word says, if I have to force myself here. Now, light comes into me. And the Bible says that light is the light of life and not death. It's the way I see it. I've got to learn to see it right. Man, see, I mean, that's the two systems. Let me go, verse 24 is obvious. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He's saying you can't serve money or in God. You got to serve God or money. See, when I allow my eye, the focus of my heart, to see the Word, and I continue to think about the Word, perfect peace comes to me. And the result will be different than what it could have been before. I'm almost through. Let's read verse 25. And you know these verses. Therefore, I say to you, he's still talking about the same thing. In light of the fact your treasure has to be in the right place. In light of the fact you've got to see things the right way. In light of the fact that money is not your God. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink. In other words, the food you eat isn't that important. It's the life of God. That's what's important. Don't worry about whether you're going to live through it or not. Because by the way, at some point, unless Jesus comes back, we all get to die. At some point. And I say get to because it's not going to be a bad thing. We're going to go be with Him. We don't lose anything. But it's not. We will recover. We will recover it. He says, take no thought for your life, what you eat or what you drink. Take no thought. What does that mean? Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. Let not your heart be troubled. Are you getting the theme here? This is more than one time in the Scripture. It has to do with my choice. He says, let. He says, take no thought. Who? You. Don't take it. I don't have to take it. It'll come, but I don't have to take it. Is not the life, he goes, nor yet for your body what you shall put on? Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Isn't life more about what you eat and what you wear? Behold the fowls there. He said, think about this. Think about the birds. It says, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Seems like they are irresponsible to me. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Wow. He feeds them. Are you not much better than they? He's going to take care of the... Have you ever looked out? We have a cardinal that lives out here somewhere. He is gorgeous. I mean, he's a beautiful bird. He never one time wakes up in the morning thinking, I wonder if I'm going to be red enough for those people today. But then there's the female. Then there's the female cardinal. She's not red. She's brown. I bet every day she wakes up thinking, I wish I was red. No, I don't think she thinks that at all. I think she's thinking, that's my man right there. And I think he wakes up thinking, that's my woman right there. They're not worried about it. I haven't seen them plant a single seed in my yard so they can reap the crop of it. They just get what we feed them and the trees. How God takes care of them. Man, this is amazing to me. Which of you, by taking one thought or by worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? Man, I wish I was 1 inch taller. I wish I had hair. I wish I was smarter than her. My dad used to say this, and my dad's not a very good philosopher, but this was true. He said, wish in one hand, spit in the other, and see which one fills up fastest. You can wish and you can wish. Why would you even worry about that? What? Things you can fix, fix. Things you can't, don't fool with them. Why would I be worried about things I can't control? It's silly for me to do that. I mean, he says, consider. He says, why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. The lilies don't even work on it. It just does. They just grow. Not one time does a lily come and complain to me because I don't water it enough. It just grows. It just does what it does. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He said, man, why are you worried about that stuff? He said, take no thought. saying. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear?
He said, after all, that's what the Gentiles or the lost world thinks about.
For your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But
what does that do? It just canceled everything before it.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom we're looking for. And His righteousness, the way He does it. Think about it. Think about that. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. And all this other stuff will be added to you. He's saying there's a value system. It's different than what the world thinks. It's different than what they do. We have to make our heart's treasure His kingdom. His kingdom. And His way of doing it. Make it His priority. How do you want it done today, sir? Is this something I need to be thinking about? Is this something I need to pay attention to? It's amazing. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say to you, pay attention to that right there. Yeah, but that's not important. I just told you to pay attention to it. Yes, sir. And then you find out why. Sometimes He says, don't fool with that. Yeah, but. And He goes, but nothing. Just don't pay attention to it today. And I have to choose some days to say, I will not take this into my thought life anymore today. I won't do it. I will not allow it to happen to me today. Jesus said, these things are spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'm giving you peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. Let's pray. Father, today I thank you for perfect peace. I thank you today, God, that your word is absolutely true. There's no question about your word. Lord, I repent that there are days that I focus on the problems, I focus on the things, I focus on the trial, I focus on the pain. And I haven't even asked you what to focus on. I want to make your value my value. Lord, I believe you give us perfect peace. While this world is going through the turmoil, it's groaning, waiting for us to be manifested. We choose you, your system, your kingdom. We choose perfect peace. In Jesus' name, amen.